There you go. That's a perfect song for the morning. Heat warning. Which pretty much means sunscreen and hydration is going to be a couple of big factors again today. But before I get to that, hey, some breaking news this morning. Looks like Air Canada, all the drama is over. Yes. Yesterday I was in Calgary and we drove to Calgary. But friends of ours met us there from Kelowna, took him to the airport. And man, the Air Canada attendants were out there with their signs waving. There were hundreds and hundreds of them inside. My friends later texted and said, it's chaos at WestJet. There are such long lines for people who were trying to find a flight because Air Canada was down. But that won't be the story here this morning. I know there were probably a lot less picketers at the Regina Airport than there were in Calgary. But it seems the Flight Attendants Union says the two sides reached a tentative deal, putting an end to the strike that began Saturday. And they're gradually going to start operations again today. Flight Attendants Union has told members they must fully cooperate with the return to service. And this comes after, I guess, some overnight talks with the federal mediator. So this is great. Both sides agreed on terms, but they still now have to go to the union members for total approval. So that didn't take too long. It's been a little stressful for a lot of flyers and, of course, those involved here too. But hopefully they're back to flying. I don't know, they hope by the end of the day to get something in the air, but you would think tomorrow would be the day they really crank it up. But we'll keep you posted throughout the day here. We're a couple of weeks away from the first day of school today. 2 weeks today. Pump the kid out the door once more. Although she has, in my household, my youngest, really been enjoying back-to-school shopping. A little too much, if you ask me. But later today, if your kid's going to school for the very first time, there's this first ride program happening over at the Connexus Arts Center where kindergartners and those new to riding a bus get the opportunity to try it out. So I'll have those details throughout the morning too. And these next couple of weeks that are left, that's all we got for back to school shopping and supplies, maybe some new kicks. I am telling you though, right now I know firsthand the extracurricular stuff that comes with going back to school is almost in high gear already for a lot of parents. There's high school football practices. They get the jump on the school year start. And if you have kids in hockey right now, you are already looking ahead and ensuring the equipment. Does it still fit? Go try your skates on. Get ready. Hockey camps are underway right now. I know the Doug Parker conditioning camp is already on. First day today over at the Cooperative Center. And by the way, I recently spoke to Amanda Hungel, Executive Director of Hockey Regina. She told me it's really easy to register, but you got to get on it now.
Very straightforward, hockeyregina.ca. You'll see a great big registration button there, and then all the information is there. For in terms of evaluations, you know, we'll have all that information flowing through our team link apps in mid, late August, early September, depending when your age division starts.
That Hockey Regina has really grown, too. Last year, more than 2,400 kids. Amanda told me they were shooting for at least 3,000 this year, but registration is only open till next Wednesday. So, I don't know, most of you are probably aware of that if you have kids in Hockey Regina, but if the email got lost in the junk mail, check it out. Next Wednesday is the deadline. And over at the U of R, students getting ready for September 2nd, too. But not going back to a student union, right? The university has ended its lease agreement with the University Students Union, saying it no longer represents students there. But then that really just means the group is no longer going to receive funding to run the Lazy Owl Bar. Oh, my goodness. Years ago, visited the Lazy Owl. That was a hot spot. But anyhow, tuition and fees are also due on the first day of class. University students can review your class schedule right now at UR self-service. And about this heat warning in effect right now, Environment Canada's David Phillips suggests it's going to be pretty short-lived.
I mean, what we're going to see is an upper trough over the Gulf of Alaska, central part of Pacific BC. It's going to make its way into Saskatchewan come, say, late tonight, Wednesday, maybe into Thursday, a little bit. But it's going to bring rain to the northern part of the province, good for putting out the fires.
Welcome back. Well, they are welcoming back Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. I got to get to that here in a moment, but just in case you're waking up and haven't even had your morning coffee, look at this, some breaking news. It looks like Air Canada drama is over. Flight Attendants Union says the two sides reached a tentative deal, putting an end to the strike that began on Saturday, and they gradually want to begin operations as early as today. But the union members still have to vote on this for approval, but looks good. Looks like that mediator worked in the overnight hours here. Now, Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, he won the Battle River Crowfoot riding in Alberta Monday night in that by-election. And Elections Canada said he won with more than 80% of the vote.
This has been a privilege. Getting to know the people in this region has been the privilege of my life.
The next closest candidate had less than 10% of the vote. So in victory, Mr. Poilievre thanked the former MP who won the riding in the general election but stepped aside so his party leader could run after Poilievre lost his Ottawa area seat back in April. And this is really his ticket back to the House of Commons, right, in the fall, where he told everyone in victory last night that he is not only going to oppose out-of-control Liberal inflation, crime, immigration, cost of living, and housing prices, but he said he's going to put Canada first. Mr. Poilievre was on the Evan Bray Show last Friday. I heard him say there that he thought we're about 2 years away from the next election. It'll be interesting later to see some of the reaction. I know Andrew Scheer, who has been acting as Conservative leader up until this by-election, he's going to be joining, I think, Brent Lux here a little later on this morning for a little more insight there, too. This, locally, caught my attention here this morning. After all the hype and delay and arguments about how much it's going to cost and the new cost, finally, later today, there's going to be a sod turning ceremony with the mayor and special guest, the Honorable Buckley Belanger, is going to be there. The Cedar Regina's indoor aquatics facility is going to have a sod turning ceremony. 10 a.m. on the sports field next to the Sportsplex. Finally. The plan is to keep the old Lawson going while the build is on. But remember, the Lawson is shut down for maintenance, too. The swimming pool is closed now till September 28th. And that is why the Wascana Park pool is going to stay open at least till then for a cannonball. There you go. The strength and conditioning area of the Lawson is closed, though, till Sunday. But the field house, is still open right now. Hey, I'm not sure you've driven by Dewdney Avenue lately. All that construction and noise. Enough of that. Anyhow, it's looking pretty impressive over there on Dewdney Avenue right now. It has just rebooted completely a good chunk. It's between Albert and Broad, but if you are going past Broad, you can really look down and see a lot there. New trees planted. You can see the new wider sidewalks. They have all these fancy lights. The boulevards seem to be coming together. You can definitely, too, see how the traffic lanes, they're a lot more narrow because the sidewalks are so much wider right now. But yeah, the new lighting, the landscaping, it's really got a whole new street appeal. It just might be done by the end of October, as they promised. Looks like it's on time right now, and they've done a little more if you're looking at it from the Albert Street end of Dewdney there. Looks like they're starting to work on the roads as they have at the opposite end on Broad there, too. So it's nice to talk to Grant at Bushwhackers, who's been holding steady like all the other businesses open during that construction. And even he is, as much as it's been a pain for he and his customers and reminding everyone is open during this whole construction, he's pretty impressed with the way it looks, too. So I think a lot of other local businesses, it's been a grind, but at the same time, when that's all done, it is going to be a massive improvement.
Get up in the morning, get on the bus. Get up in the morning like the rest of us. Places to go, important people to meet. Better not get up or you might lose your seat. Bus ride.
Today's the day. 2 weeks from today, we'll be sending our kids back to school. But today at the Kinexus Arts Center, Regina Catholic and Regina Public Schools are doing their first ride event again. That's on the southeast parking lot next to the Kinexus. This is it. This is where kids who are going to kindergarten, maybe new to busing students. We'll find out about crosswalk safety, bicycle safety, but more importantly, what it's like being on the bus. And there's two different opportunities here for you today to take your little ones. There's an afternoon program. It starts at 2. It's going to take about an hour and a half. There's one at 5:30 tonight. That's also about an hour and a half. I point that out because we got a heat warning, right? Today, 33 degrees. So don't they say to kids, slip on a shirt, maybe a long sleeve, slap on some sunscreen, and slap on a hat if you're taking your kids to this. But it is, over the years, I know we're going to send a reporter later on because we love talking to the kids, the things they say about getting on a school bus. And so some of the drivers are going to be there. It's just to get everyone relaxed. I know it's a couple of weeks away before that big first bus ride, but this is really going to help mom, dad, grandparents who might take the kids there today, make those little ones feel a little more comfortable. So again, that's on the Southeast parking lot next to the Conexus. Afternoon, 2 o'clock. Evening, 5:30. And they start registration. Yeah, you could just show up and register 1:30. Going to be fun. But again, remember, it's 33 degrees today. It's outside, so plan accordingly. Some breaking news this morning, Air Canada drama. Is it over? Sure sounds like it. The flight attendants union says the two sides reached a tentative deal that would put an end to the strike that started on Saturday here, too. And this comes after some overnight talks with the federal mediator. But yeah, apparently both sides have agreed on terms. Just got to go to the union for final approval. But that's some good news here. I don't know, my buddy James Bogus, the CEO over at the Regina Airport. James, are you up yet? Can you call me? I would love to know how this is going to affect things at the Regina Airport. But yeah, some good news there, as something like 30,000 passengers a day finding another way to get around. 6 months ago, the meeting between President Trump and President Zelensky spiraled out of control. You probably recall how ugly it got. Well, yesterday, the two met again at the White House. So did some of Europe's top leaders, too, who had raced to Washington to back him up because they knew he was going to be meeting with Trump in this effort to stop the war. And once they sat face-to-face in the Oval Office, the tone seemed, well, listen, pretty cordial.
Thanks so much, Mr. President. If I can, first of all, thank you for invitation, and thank you very much for your efforts, personal efforts to stop killings and stop this war. Thank you.
Trump was hoping the meeting would lead to a trilateral meeting with Russian President Putin.
I think there will be a reasonable chance of ending the war when we do that.
Zelensky, he is insisting, though, on security guarantees in case Russia decides to invade again.
What security guarantees do you need from President Trump to be able to make a deal? Is it American troops, intelligent, equipment? What is it?
Everything. It depends on the big countries, on the United States, on a lot of our friends.
Now listen here, Trump seems to pledge American support.
When it comes to security, there's going to be a lot of help. It's going to be good. They are first line of defense because they're there. They're Europe. But we're going to help them out also. We'll be involved.
Now that sounded good. But on the question of an immediate ceasefire, well, the president seems to have drastically changed his tone now since meeting Putin on Friday, because this was his stance going into the meeting yesterday.
And I think we'll probably end up at some point getting a ceasefire in the not-too-distant future.
I want it to end immediately. I want a ceasefire now.
Pretty soon have a full ceasefire.
He has made it clear to both sides that he wants to see a peaceful resolution and a ceasefire as soon as possible.
I'd like to see a ceasefire.
That was then, but apparently Putin said no on Friday, and Trump yesterday backed down and has seemingly changed his tune.
I don't think you need a ceasefire. You know, if you look at the six deals that I settled this year, they were all at war. I didn't do any ceasefires. But we can work a deal where we're working on a peace deal while they're fighting. They have to fight.
Yeah. It's a little different tone now. So European leaders like President Macron of France and others, they were all trying to change his mind yesterday.
To ask for a truce or a ceasefire, at least to stop the killings, as we discuss, is a necessity. We all support this idea.
I can't imagine that the next meeting would take place without a ceasefire. So let's work on that and let's try to put pressure on Russia.
Now, following all of those meetings, Trump called Putin. And he tells us this morning on social media that he has begun to make arrangements for a meeting between Putin and Zelensky, and that will be followed by yet another meeting that the president would then join. Nothing further on when or whether or not that might happen anytime soon, but That's all we know from Truth Social, according to Trump this morning. But really, when you listen to some of the questions yesterday following the meetings, Monday, Fox, they set Trump up so he could blame Joe Biden.
As you met with Putin on Friday, today you've got President Zelensky here. As you listen to Russia and Ukraine, which side has the better cards?
Right? Well, I don't want to say that. I'm just here to be. Look, this isn't my war. This is Joe Biden's war. He's the one that had a lot to do with this happening.
Really? Last I checked, Biden didn't invade Ukraine. But hey, I could be a little wrong on that one. But after all of that, Moscow engaging in its largest aerial assault on Ukraine in weeks. As these meetings were taking place, the Ukrainian Air Force said Russia fired 270 drones and 10 missiles overnight, killing at least 8 people and wounding 54 others. Cannot not listen to that song and not think of Back to the Future, one of my all-time favorite movies, which I would suggest still holds up to this very day if you want to introduce it to your kids or your grandkids, I'm just saying. But yeah, 1985, Power of Love, it was huge on the radio. Then the Goonies came along, hit theaters too. That was fun. But Saskatchewan kids were riding bikes without helmets and squeezing every last ounce out of summer. About this time back in 1985 too, and on the calm surface of Turtle Lake. Little further up north here, north of North Battleford, two young brothers saw something that changed them forever. It's Saskatchewan Stories. Brittany Cafe brings us a tale of mystery, memory, and a monster.
In west central Saskatchewan, where boreal forest meets big sky, Robert and Dave Gross were 11 and 9, sunburnt, barefoot, and free.
We were sitting on the beach, we looked across, we're like, is that? It's like a log floating there. So it looked like a log.
And the water was calm, just like this. It was a beautiful, like early August. It was around supper time. We thought, like, somebody's going to hit it. Powerboats go through here all the time. So our thought was, let's just pull it back to shore.
So they hopped into their boat, a little canoe with a motor on the back. Robert steered, Dave held the rope. But when they got closer...
We were absolutely dumbfounded and shocked when we pulled up to it that it was an actual, like, fish-like creature.
It was dark, green, it had, like, scales on it, and it had this fin that came
pointy
up.
Pointy fin?
This pointy fin, and it had this, these rows of, like, ridges on it. It looked like a monster.
A massive tail dipped below the surface, and just like that, it was gone. But for the Gross brothers, the moment left a mark. They'd heard the stories, of course they had. Tales passed around fire pits and docks of something old, something unexplainable in Turtle Lake.
So we knew instantly what it was. We didn't know what kind of creature it was, but we knew it was the Turtle Lake Monster.
Robert's a grown man now. He's a father, a pragmatic guy. But the memory of that day, it's never faded. He spent years researching the mystery, gathering stories and evidence. Some people think it's a giant sturgeon, a fish that can grow over 10 feet long. Others say it's just a local legend. But Robert?
I would say, like, it's as real as you and I standing here, Brittany, talking right now.
Even now, he says it wasn't a fearful encounter. It was full of wonder. A magical sighting in a magical place, and a moment that made his childhood unforgettable.
I still, to this day, feel so privileged and honored to have seen it. Even if it turns out to be a very big sturgeon, that's still a monster in this lake. 10-foot long sturgeon? That's a monster in my book.
And who knows? Something may still be gliding just beneath the surface of Turtle Lake. And if you're lucky and the water is still, you might just see it too. On the shores of Turtle Lake with a Saskatchewan story, I'm Brittany Cafe, 980 CJME.
That's really cool, Brittany. Thanks for bringing us that one. I was just looking up Facebook. There's even a Facebook page of this, Stories of the Turtle Lake Monster, to really dive deeper into that as well. CJME News Time now is 628.